This episode is brought to you by Danone North America, the world's largest B Corp, committed to doing all kinds of better for people and the planet. Learn more at DanoneAwayFromHome.com.
This week on Meat and Three, we have stories about food in large quantities. From bulk buying groups and reasons for stocking up, to creative solutions for handling excess waste.
We have someone picking up our corks from the wine bottles, and they repurpose them to make buoys for boats and like shoes and all these different things.
Yeah, because of the COVID, everybody like isolate at home. But to see the people face to face is still exciting. So we kind of treat it like a chance to say hello to the people and to the friend.
Listen to Meat and Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup, wherever you get your podcast.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the air.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm Souther Teague.
And I'm Greg Benson.
Greg, how are you, friend?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
It's finally kind of a nicer day here in Brooklyn. The past couple of days have been kind of rainy and gross. We actually had to close the bar early and not even open at all one day. So I'm happy to see, because, you know, we're still limited outdoor seating in New York. We're up to 25% indoor capacity, but that's doesn't include bar seating, and my bar only has bar seating. So I don't have any indoor capacity.
So you're just threesome toll booth now.
I'm at the whim and folly of weather still, and we are edging into, you know, the time in New York City when it is not comfortable to sit outside, based on temperature and, you know, fall rains and, you know, moisture in the air, etc. Like, the temperature was reasonable. You know, we've discovered that just through some, you know, data mining of our own, talking to people who run businesses in New York that are always outdoor, 51 degrees seems to be the consensus on where people won't sit outside anymore. And even though we were in the low 60s, it was misty, so the, you know, temperature feels cooler on your skin. So people were, you know, not coming out, and the ones that were there were complaining of the temperature and leaving. And so, you know, we got to get some changes made as quickly as we can, or we're going to run out of landing strip here. It's getting perilous as the days go by.
Well, it's also, I mean, sort of speaking of this, I'm not back at work yet. I'm still making a living by slapping my hands against a keyboard, which is super weird to me. I have a number of friends who have recently in the past few weeks started to go back to work, which is, you know, I should say this loudly and for the record, is just a general failure of governance. Like, it is not the safest thing for people to, I'm not going to go ahead and say it's not safe, but it is definitely, everyone agrees, safer if everyone stays home than if you try and go back to work and serve a bunch of people in the service industry. But expanded benefits are running out. Winter is coming. People need to go back. And I've been, it's been odd, you know, it's been weird having the option again for the first time since March of, you know, being out for a walk, being in a given part of town if I'm out on a bike ride, and being like, oh, my friend just started working at this bar, I should pop in and see how they're doing. It's an odd thing. I drank my first cocktail in a Nick and Nora in about 7 months this week, and I felt like one of those bomb disabling robots that the US military uses. I was just like, I didn't know, I felt like I'd forgotten how to use nice glassware, and I was worried that if I touched it wrong, the whole thing was going to explode.
Sure, I mean, I totally understand that. You know, I've mentioned a few times, I think, on the show that I have only been out to now 4 different spots, and all still in the outdoor phase, and I've not liked any one of them, even though one of them was, you know, arguably my favorite bar in the world, Bar Goto. It just doesn't feel right. I'm not going to patronize a place until we're back to 100% capacity. And that may be another 6 months or more away.
It's a tricky problem for sure. It's definitely one that I've sort of wrestled with morally. I mean, obviously, you know, I just outed myself as going out to bars.
That's okay. People are. And I don't think I felt unsafe. That's not the right thing when I say it felt weird. It just feels awkward. It feels not right. And I don't, you know, and as a hospitality person, even when times are great, you sit in any place and you look around and you see things that you would or you wouldn't do. And you're constantly on the job is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
So
once
now,
you see the programming for the Matrix, you can't unsee it.
And so, exactly. And so now, as a guy who's been operating an outdoor cafe, you know, 7 days a week for months now, under all these protocols, you know, I'm looking at all that as well. But I didn't feel unsafe at any of the places I went to. I just felt like this isn't, you know what I mean? That's why you go to places, because you're comfortable. I just didn't feel comfortable. It felt odd and, I don't know, surreal. Like you said, you reach for that glass and you feel like it's going to explode if you touch it wrong. So every little action that you take is, you know, magnified to such a degree that you can't relax into the moment and just be like, I'm sitting here at a place that I love and enjoying a thing that they do. I'm thinking to myself, I'm sitting outside a place that I love and enjoying something like what they do, but they're having to do things that they don't normally do. So, you know, it all just seems the puzzle pieces didn't fit together. So I've decided I'm just not going to do it. And it's not because I don't want to support places. It's because I, frankly, you know, knowing that my own salary has been slashed to less than a quarter, I don't have the money to go out. And if I'm going to go out and spend that now very, very hard-earned dollar, I need it to be comfortable. I need it to be relaxing and fulfilling. And if it's not going to be, then I'm just going to avoid it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was hanging out with some Daywalker friends last night, and, you know, I got up on one of my favorite soapboxes, which is that, you know, the restaurants that are any restaurant being opened right now isn't for their benefit. It is for the benefit of people that would like to pretend that things are normal for however long they can do that psychological balancing act, you know? And you know, I'm not trying to be a scold here, because I definitely enjoy buying into that fantasy, but you're right.
It's a fantasy.
It is. And it's nice to live in for a second, but it is hard to maintain, and harder, I think, if you, like we were talking about, if you can see the Matrix and if you can see all the things that are different and wrong with this picture. You know, it's like the black cat just keeps shaking itself and walking through the doorway over and over and over again.
Yeah, I think
if you haven't seen the Matrix, listener, I'm sorry about that last analogy. Trust me, it's perfect.
Yeah, it is pretty spot on. Yeah, I think, you know, it's also, again, as you mentioned, a failing on the part of governance that they haven't simply stepped forward and said, you have to close. If they were to say that my bar had to close, then I could look at my landlord and say, we have to negotiate. Because they say I can be open, my landlord says, you owe me money. So mm-hmm. It's an Ouroboros, right? It's a snake that eats itself. It's a problem that's causing itself. It's a problem that won't end because of itself. And I think the phrase that I keep hearing out there, seeing in memes and whatnot, is just because you're over the pandemic doesn't mean the pandemic is over.
Exactly.
So on that cheery note.
Yes. Speaking of living virtually, there is not just one, but four simultaneous cocktail conventions happening virtually right now at this very minute as we're recording. And conducting all of this this craziness, please welcome Carlos Rodriguez. Carlos, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Yeah,
of course.
So your official job title is Event Director of Global Bar Week by Reed Exhibitions. And that's a pretty hefty title. Talk about that.
Oh, it is. It is. And don't read too much into it. So yeah, well, actually, you know, I'm the event director of, shall we say, part of Global Bar Week. So I'm the event director of Bar Convent Brooklyn, which I'm sure you and your listeners may know well. Yep. That takes place every year. Of course, not this year at the Brooklyn Expo Center. And we are kind of doing Global Bar Week. You know, I ultimately work for Reed Exhibitions, which is a big expo organizer. You know, New York Comic Con is one of our ours. Star Wars Celebration is one of ours. And we had the idea in these challenging times to not only obviously make Bar Convent Brooklyn a virtual show because we can't make it face-to-face, but to actually work with our sister shows around the world. So with Reed Exhibitions Germany and Bar Convent Brooklyn, with Reed Exhibitions Brazil, Bar Convent Sao Paulo, and with Reed Exhibitions UK, who do their own kind of equivalent, same kind of show, but it's called Imbibe Live. And so we were all in this boat of, well, I guess we can't have our face-to-face show this year for obvious reasons, and we still want to talk to the audience and keep our audience engaged and provide value and lots of interesting, great content. How about we try and join forces, pull something globally together, you know, for our participants that to say, hey, you don't just get to experience Brooklyn virtually, but you can experience all of these other shows from the comfort of your own home or your own desk or your own office. And so we thought, all right, we've got 3 months to go. Logistically, this is going to be crazy. Let's do it anyway. So, and yes, Global Bar Week kicked off on Monday. And myself and my fellow event directors for those three other shows, we are knee deep in the thick of it, shall we say. So, and it's going great so far.
Yeah, four global conventions, pulling them off simultaneously across, you know, the vastness of the internet sounds simple enough.
Yeah. Very simple, right? On a platform most of us have never used before, all in there, and every decision needs four yeses or four noes. What could be easier?
Yeah, man. Talk to me about like the expectation of your virtual guest. What does one expect as the guest to the virtual Global Bar Week?
Well, it's a really fascinating question, especially when you're talking about an event like this. So we run, you know, obviously Reed Exhibitions, we run a lot of events, you know, in all different industries, jewelry and pop culture and architecture and travel. On this particular event, though, you know, people come to Brooklyn and Berlin and Sao Paulo and Mumbai primarily to taste, right? Sips to lips. They want to taste the new spirits. They want to taste new product launches, for example. And so when you're doing that virtually, you really, really can't do that. And so what is it? What is it? What is the objective of what we're trying to do? If you know you can't really do tasting like you would at a face-to-face event, what objective, what need are we going to fulfill for the audience? And so our audience, when we do have our face-to-face events, one of the things they really, really love is all of the content and education that we have in terms of hearing about the latest trends in the industry or the latest distilling methods, you know, from the very, very broad to the very, very specific. You know, maybe networking and meeting up with people they only see once a year. Maybe they are, you know, on the lookout even in these times. Maybe they are on the lookout to get in a new line of Mexican whiskey, you know, a new line of gin. So all of those objectives can still kind of be achieved. And so what we're trying to do with this centralized local platform is to say, hey, you know what? All of that education and all of that great content and all of this new information and new trends and hearing from some of these just unbelievably brilliant people in the industry, you can still do that. You wanted to network with some people, you want to have a few meetings, you can still do that. But crucially, more importantly, is to say, but not only are you going to experience all that you would normally experience at a face-to-face event, but hey, maybe you do want to hear what's going on with vodka in Brazil. What are the trends in Latin America for spirits? What are the latest trends in Germany? You know, for whatever it is that you want to do, you can get your localized perspective of that as you always would from Brooklyn or from Sao Paulo or from Berlin or wherever your local show is. But you can also cast your eye further afield and really, really find out, again, from the comfort of your own home, what's going on around the rest of the world and get those different perspectives and maybe network with some of those people and make contacts with some of those people from around the world that you normally wouldn't have. So I think, I hope that answers your question in terms of the objectives, you know, the purpose of what our guests' expectations would be. But on top of that, because it's virtual and because we have these four disparate shows from around the world coming together, you can get maybe what you're expecting, but then just so much more from an international perspective.
Well,
that definitely answers my question on what they expect. And we're in the thick of it right now. correct? This is happening as we speak.
We are. This is day three, actually, yeah. And it runs every day through Sunday, so it's going to be 7 full days.
Yeah. So we're reaching the pinnacle right now, and I'm sure you're already getting some feedback. What is the feedback like from the guests? Are those goals that you set for yourself that you just explained to us, are they being achieved, and how are they being received by the guest?
We are, obviously. We run on every event we do. We kind of run a post-show survey where we get the really, really detailed feedback, you know, from all of our participants, whether they're an attendee or whether they're an exhibitor or one of our sponsors. But anecdotally and through the power of social, you know, Barkhammer Brooklyn, probably more than any other channel, has a huge following on Instagram. And we're getting a lot of great feedback on Instagram and a lot of great shares of some of the content that not surprisingly, to be fair, people are just loving the variety and the depth and the breadth of content that we have. You know, we have some stuff that is sponsored. We have some stuff that is not sponsored. We've got a lot of content that is very, you know, focused on not just COVID, but the economic impact to the industry from COVID. We have a ton of content around diversity, equity, and inclusion, from Black Lives Matter to Asian American bartenders to the queer voice in the industry. So I think along with all the content they were expecting, people have appreciated that kind of variety and kind of addressing touch points that are important to people right now and happening right now. I also know we have had some good feedback as people, even on the socialist issues that I've just spoken to you about. It's been interesting for some people to get those different perspectives from other countries. You know, we know very much so what is going on with the racial problem we have in this country. But for people to kind of get people from other countries to get that firsthand knowledge of what's going on here, but also for people from the United States to understand, well, you know what, there's nuances when you go to other countries and how they're handling it and the issues that they may have. So I think that, you know, the feedback that we've gotten so far from kind of our participant perspective is that they've really, really been delighted with that variety and depth of content that we have. And I think, you know, for a lot of our exhibitors and a lot of sponsors, obviously being able to reach out and connect with so many people, not just from their, you know, air quotes, home show, but from across the world, you know, especially if that's one of their strategic objectives for their company this year. Giving the opportunity to do that has been very, very much appreciated. And I think they've liked the sheer number of people that they can see in the platform, in the Global Bar Week platform. So, so far, touch wood, good feedback.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of I like that you've, you're filling the Damon Bolte role this week. Damon Bolte is usually our glass half full glass. He's not a half full guy. He's an always full up to the, like, right yeah. up to the meniscus guy. Yeah. And he's on the road this week, but I like that you looked at this problem of, well, how do we, you know, recreate this experience where people come together and mingle and network and are exposed, you know, put themselves in a place, go out of their way to be exposed to things they wouldn't be just in the course of their day-to-day lives, and said, this isn't just something where we can recreate this. This is something where we can take that up to the next level because we have been forced to move virtual, because we now have the entire world at our disposal for this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, again, there's nothing that's really ever going to replace face-to-face, you know, and that, you know, feeling of the sips to lips or liquid to lips, whichever term that you like, that you prefer. But in doing this, and like you said, in kind of being forced to do this, it does make you think, all right, well, what things though can I take advantage? What advantages does this format give me? What are the things that I can offer that I normally couldn't offer because we've kind of been backed into this corner of doing this? And, you know, it didn't obviously take much thinking about to see, well, actually, we could take advantage of this in all of these different ways. Some of the stuff I think, you know, our participants were expecting, some of us, I think, has been, you know, surprising to them. Oh, I didn't expect to learn that, or I didn't expect to see that. So it's definitely, it is, you know, and to kind of, not to be the too the glasses only completely half full. when we were doing this, you know, we'd never done it before. So kind of, you know, it was, how do I want to say this? We could, not that we didn't know, but it was like, well, I hope the people register. I hope the people come. when we spoke to some of our customers, you know, and it was like, yes, but you know, how many people do you think you're gonna get? You know, I couldn't say, oh, we're gonna get this many easily, no problem, because I don't really know. But with the audience, the inbuilt audience, each of these four shows have. And with the fact that, at Reed Exhibitions, we are a professional show organizer, you know, I would say to people, you know, no guarantees. I can't, you know, tell you right now, right here, exactly that Global Bar Week is going to be a raging success or absolutely fantastic or inundated. I can't tell you that because we don't know. We haven't done it before. What I can tell you, though, is with the things that we've put in place, and like I was saying, the audiences that we have, the promotion that we do, and the fact that our industry is so passionate, it's as pretty much close to an almost sure thing you can get to without it actually being a sure thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like all the pieces were there to ensure that you'd get, you know, some folks coming. You know, I have to assume that even the folks who would maybe want to go to any one of these events but live a little further away or can't get time off work or simply it's unaffordable in some way, they're priced out in, you know, or blocked out in some way. Now those people can attend easily. So what you may have lost in people who say, well, I'm only going to do it if I can go there in person, you probably gained in people who said, well, I've been wanting to go for years and this is my first opportunity to go, right?
Absolutely. You know, and as you look at the registrations come through, and we have found this on some of the other events that we run virtually, of course, it comes as no surprise that the vast, vast majority of the people that we have come to from BCB Brooklyn are from the greater New York metropolitan area, from the tri-state area, right? No surprise there. But as you look at the registrants coming through, I think you're exactly right. You know, we see people from all over the U.S., and obviously because it's a Global Bar Week, all over the world as well, but just from a U.S. perspective. Yeah. I think you're right. This gives us an advantage to reach people who's like, well, I can't afford to fly to New York or to stay in a hotel in New York and go to this. So I think we're able to do that. You know, we're able to do that for people. And some of the things that we have, you know, at Global Bar Week, in addition to the education, like unboxing of spirits, right, or of new spirits, or having a kind of virtual tasting that you kind of can kind of join in along at home if you have the spirit. I think that kind of that almost interactive or almost, if this isn't a contradiction in terms, virtually tangible kind of aspect to it has made
you heard it here first, team.
Virtually tangible, right? Yeah, I think I'll copyright that one. As we've explained to some of our company participants around the unboxing, you know, some of this is a new concept even to them. You know, we try and tell people, hey, have you ever gone on YouTube and seen the billions of videos there are of people unboxing Funko Pop heads?
Yeah, it's crazy.
If you're me, I watch endless videos of people unboxing Jordans because I'm a total sneakerhead. It's people love this, and we've seen it too. Some of the viewership of the unboxing of the unboxing content that we've put on Global Bar Week has actually even been surprising to me.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, that closest thing that you can get and the fact that people can kind of, quote unquote, play along at home, it really is. It's really the next best thing.
Yeah, fascinating. Carlos, hang on for one second. We should hear from our sponsors here at Heritage Radio Network. We're going to come back and keep talking to Carlos Rodriguez about the virtual tangibility of Bar Convent in Brooklyn and other events that are happening literally right now. And we're going to tell you how you can get involved. So stay tuned.
Every time your customers eat and drink, they vote for the world they want to live in. And as the world's largest B Corp, Danone North America helps people vote for a better world with all kinds of better dairy, coffee, and plant-based products sourced and produced transparently. Danone North America has the brands people know and love, like International Delight, Oikos, Silk, So Delicious Dairy Free, Horizon Organic, and Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. But Danone North America represents more than just in-demand brands and better-for-your-business products. They bring their B Corp certification to life in ways that protect the environment and communities by utilizing 100% renewable electricity sources to produce their products at their manufacturing facilities, committing $6 million to programs that restore the soil's ability to capture and sequester carbon, helping to restore more than 7.8 billion gallons to freshwater ecosystems through their water partnerships over the past decade, and committing to 100% reusable, recyclable, and compostable packaging by 2025. Learn how you can choose better at DanoneAwayFromHome.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. We are talking to Carlos Rodriguez, who is running one part of Global Bar Week, which is happening right now, literally right now as we're talking about it. So, Carlos, if as soon as people are done with this podcast, they want to click over there and see what's going on, where should they start and how can they go about that?
Sure. Well, the easiest way is to go to barconventbrooklyn.com, and right there on the homepage, at the top of the homepage, you get this nice big red button that says register for, and here's the important part, free today. Ooh. If you just click there, you'll be taken through the literal simplest registration process ever, and it's simple because registration processes are important to me, and if there are any more than like 5 questions, I get annoyed. So very, very simple registration process. Go to barconventbrooklyn.com. It is free registration, and you get access to all the heavenly goodness within Global Bar Week.
That's fantastic. And before the show, we were talking a little bit about how many, like full court press of people coming into this this virtual convention you've had. And I sort of wanted to branch out a little bit about one particular thing you talked about. We sort of, every show that we've done in the past 7 months has kind of been about COVID in a way. It's always sort of there lurking in the background.
It's part of everything right now.
Yeah. And you mentioned that a lot of what is being discussed at Global Bar Week has to do with the economic impacts of that and sort of ways to move forward. And one thing that I want to know is, one thing that I've enjoyed getting to do on this show is talk to people from Scotland, Haiti, Peru, Australia, Ireland, like all over the world, about what their what is going on in their countries and sort of what their unique approach to this has been. So has it just been a global brainstorming session, or how has that been going on for y'all?
Interesting question. It's interesting because I think at the same time there are as many similarities between the four global shows as there are differences when it comes to the COVID effect on the industry, on the actual show itself, but also when it comes to how we think about a virtual event, how we would individually think about a virtual event, and then, of course, in this case, how we collectively think of a virtual event. I guess one of the common factors, obviously, that is running through everything is that there is, not really in any four parts of the globe that the four shows come from, there has not been a complete return to normalcy. There has been, bars, restaurants are still, for the most part, closed or only very, very tentatively opened. We do have, a lot of our participating companies have been having a not too bad of a time of it, as we've had the rise of direct-to-consumer alcohol being ordered, of which I've partaken myself as well. But our participants, and our core audience of attendees, which are the bartenders and the bar owners, have been hit particularly hard. And so we understand that, and we also understand that there is that desire for normalcy. And if we can't get back to a bar right now, can I at least talk with some like-minded people from my industry? Can I at least understand and absorb all the content of all the cool things that are A, going on in the industry right now, or B, are coming down in the pipe of the industry? So I think we collectively knew that would be appealing to the audience, to be able to provide them something that like that, again, as close as you can as possible without being face-to-face, a sense of that normalcy, while being very, very, very cognizant of and sympathetic to the economic circumstances that, that people are undergoing. And so, you know, some of the content that we have been offering out, we have a great law firm that we work with, DePasquale and Summers, who specialize in this industry. And they've, for just as an example, released a series of content, which is also available on barcomerbrooklyn.com, where they've released a series of webinars all around about legal advice for our core audience that I was talking about, our bartenders, our bar owners. What are your rights for land, you know, in terms of landlords that may be demanding rent or God forbid, trying to kind of boot you out of your premises. What are the legal recourse that is available to you? Are you fully up to speed on all the regulations that we all know are sometimes changing weekly, daily even? Do you understand what you can and what you can't do? And so I think when we were thinking about this, as well as all that, the other stuff that I'd mentioned in terms of providing something that we know that the audience is going to really, really wants and is interested in and passionate about, to give them that sense of normalcy. We're also trying to collectively trying to provide practical advice to the audience, so that they can feel that they, that what we're giving them is something worth their time. You know, on that one thing, I wanted to mention and about that and about Global Bar Week, even you know, as a whole. One of the things that kind of we all thought about, and one of the things I actually brought up to the global team, was that when you're providing virtual content or when you're running a virtual event, not only is it different in all the obvious ways, but when you have a face-to-face show, you know, people come to a face-to-face show. They're there for the day or they're there for 2 days, and you have them and they're captive and they're there for 2 days and you have people's attention span. When you're running a virtual event, though, it's very, very different, especially as we all know, people kind of join from their house, from their home. And so when you're running this virtual event and when you're providing this great content, you, first of all, your audience is not captive anymore because they're not in a venue. They're right there. But secondly, you're not just competing with maybe the fact that they have laundry to do, or they're technically working and they have another meeting that they may need to go to. And while I would love to attend that session on Hennessy, I actually have another meeting that I have to go to. So you're you know, not only are they not a captive audience, you may be competing with other meetings they have, other work. But crucially, one of the VP of events for the NBA, who is someone we had on a webinar for one of our other shows, which is a digital marketing show, had said, when you're doing kind of virtual events like this, you're also competing with Netflix. You're competing with Hulu. And so whatever you do, whatever you provide to your audience, it has to be the shit. It really does. It just does. It's not good enough to say, oh yeah, this is applicable to this audience. What are you going to do to make it very compelling to the audience in terms of the title, the lineup, the description, the actual content of what you're talking about and what that webinar, virtual panel is about? What are you going to do to compel your audience to actually turn away from Hulu or turn away from HBO Max? And so that was the challenge we all collectively had. And it's made us, I think, better event organizers in terms of really, really trying to curate the content that we know that our audience is gonna love. Because if we don't do that, then we're just lining ourselves up for failure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's an important way to think about it. First, I'd like to touch on what you mentioned earlier about all the content that you're generating for people like me who are operators who may not know how to deal with landlords or the specifications of the regulations that are being handed down again minute by minute, if not even quicker than that. Because that's important stuff for an operator, because I am trying to operate my business. Meaning I can't just sit in front of a computer and go search out these things. If they're compiled for me somewhere, that's going to be a great reliever of stress for me and hopefully a help to my business. So I think that's important. And I would encourage anyone out there who's an operator or owner to go check out those bits of the format and engage in those. But, you know, just a quick analogy to what you just said about how you have to compete with everything. My grandfather worked in advertising for a while when I was young. He related a story to us about how every commercial, they did commercials for Coca-Cola. Every commercial they pitched to Coca-Cola, the executives at Coca-Cola would watch the commercial without sound. So the commercial had to be compelling enough to get the idea and the message across without even being able to hear what the audio was. So I feel like that's kind of a similar thing. You're trying to be compelling enough to go up against these giants that are simply just distractors. You're having to gather people's attention and hold it, even though you maybe, you know, you're hobbled in some way. So I think that's pretty powerful that you guys, you know, decided that pretty early on and have driven your content to be, I don't know, compelling and accessible and attention grabbing from the beginning. So it's pretty smart.
Absolutely agree. We have no choice. We have to.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's where we're all at right now. We have no choice. You know, I keep telling people, you're not watching me learn to swim. You're watching me try not to drown. It's a subtle. It's a very subtle difference. they're similar in ways, but there's some subtle differences as well. You said you wanted to talk a little bit about global community key takeaways from the pre-show and during show activities, the trends, et cetera. What are we seeing emerge as this goes on? I'm sure that you probably had a chart or something that said what you expected to see. Are you hitting what you expected, or are things popping up that were unexpected? How's that part going?
So I would say it's a little bit of both, right? And it's a little bit too early to have most of our key takeaways. All we can really do is kind of observe the platform, observe the interaction, and try and comment on what's going on. I think there's a kind of two key takeaways so far, just from what's going on, that I can talk about the content that I've kind of, you know, already a little bit alluded to. In that, you know, not too surprisingly, I would say the content is proving to be a big hit. Right, it's getting a lot of viewership. It's getting a lot of live viewership. But crucially, actually, and one thing I would say on the content is that, you know, for most of the content that we have, you know, it's scheduled. Right, this is going to go out on Wednesday at 3:00. This is going to go out on Tuesday at 10 a.m. But like, and we've already mentioned them, like Netflix and Hulu, our audience, not just for this event, but for most events, the audience's mindset has changed over the years, and people demand things on demand. They're like, that's great. I don't care that it's 11 a.m. I'm busy at 11 a.m. I want to watch it when I want to watch it. And so what we're finding is that while we're getting like a lot of live viewership during the live scheduled time, we're getting a ton of viewership watching it on demand. You know, people watching it in the evening, maybe they're busy during the day, people watching it the next day. So yes, the content is proving popular, but also people are kind of expecting it to watch it on their schedule, on their terms, and when they want. The second kind of related takeaway to the content is, and I again touched upon this, is that the unboxing content that we have, or I'm going to take you through tasting. We had a great great session last night on banana fruit flavors in different spirits and how there's a hint of banana. Those ones where people are actually tasting the alcohol and they're encouraging you to follow one at home, or just unboxing these new products in this beautiful packaging and pouring it out and tasting it for the first time. Those seem to absolutely be resonating with the audience. And again, those are the closest things that you can get to being in there in person and tasting it yourself without tasting it actually. So I think in terms of the content, that's something we're learning. In terms of the global nature of it, it's funny because we have this global show, and we're providing all of our members, hey, mix with all of the exhibitors and all of your fellow participants from all over the world. We're seeing in these early days, people in the majority though are sticking to their home, right? So all the people that that normally come to BCB Brooklyn, you know, most of the connections they're making are with other exhibitors and other participants from Brooklyn. It's the same thing in Berlin. It's the same thing with the UK audience and the same thing with the Sao Paulo audience. Now, we're going to see if that trend changes slightly as we get further in the week and people start to move further afield. Because we are getting people that come back to the platform every day, in part because, and here's that key word again, we are releasing content, new content every single day. So it's not like you can watch all of the content for the show on the first day. We're actually, including on Sunday, we're releasing brand new content, so people are coming back. And I thought that was quite interesting. We'll see if that trend stays. But people are, they really do love their home show and networking and connecting with people from their home show. So those, I would say, are very, very early days, really at, only after two full days of the show, preliminary takeaways that I'm seeing.
Yeah, and it totally makes sense, I think. I wanted to ask another thing regarding the virtual content that's up there and being able to watch it on demand. Is it going to be, what's the word that they use, evergreen? Is it going to always be there? Can I go look at this show in 2 months, 6 months, or is it going to be up for a certain amount of time and then pulled down?
So the answer is yes and no.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
mm-hmm.
so that's my favorite
answer.
Vague enough for you. So the actual platform itself, with all of the content on it, is going to be open probably up to a week after after the event closes. You know, we're looking actually at viewership now, you know, and platform usage. So not quite sure yet of how many days, but it's probably going to be around about a week after the show ends, and again, the show runs through Sunday the 18th, so maybe up to the 25th. Will the content be available for your viewers? Then the platform will be turned off. And then on the Bar Convent Brooklyn website itself, when you go there, amongst all the other fabulous things you'll see on there, you'll see right up in the toolbar something called Infuse 365. And Infuse 365 is content that is supposed to be there, as the name suggests, 365. So that series I was talking about that DePasquale and Summers did, you know, in terms of knowing your rights as a bar owner or bartender, that's up there, and that will stay there. That's evergreen. A lot of the content from Global Bar Week, yes, we are going to repurpose and is going to live on Infuse 365. But I think each of the individual shows are going to be pretty much do the same thing. So you're probably going to get the majority of the Brooklyn content on Infuse 365, and that's probably going to be evergreen. But for the Imbibe Live content, you'll want to go to the UK's website. For the Berlin content, the Berlin website, and so on.
Understood.
And so forth.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. The local thing goes to its local platform. But, you know, on what you were saying, I would concur wholeheartedly. You know, our show, back on Old Earth, our show was live. Now we record and it airs a couple hours later. Once we ever get back to the studio, we're live. And we can see the analytics from our side, too. Live listeners are pale in comparison to people who listen at their leisure later that day, the following day, over the next 3 or 4 days. Every show sees far more people download and listen than sees it live. But we still do it live because it gives it a better, I don't know, it feels better when it's live.
Agreed. No, agreed. These sessions that we have, they're live recorded. You know, we have all the panelists there and everything there. And you can watch it live if you want. But yes, that increase in on demand. And you know, and I think we all understand this, too. As we've seen, you know, and as we spoke about a little bit before the show, for different reasons and in different ways, we're still very, very busy, even being stuck in our house for most of the time, in many, many different ways. And everyone has their own personal things that are going on. I have 3 kids, and I literally have 2 times a day that to myself. When I walk the dogs in the morning and when I walk the dogs in the evening. And those are my only 2 podcast times. That's it. I don't have a prayer of listening to a podcast outside of those 2 times of walking the dog. So, yeah, any podcast that I want to listen to or anything like that I want to consume, I've got a small window and it needs to be consumed on my time.
Carlos, I'd highly recommend you go into your podcast settings and start listening to things on 2x speed. It takes a minute to get used to, but it saves you. It saves
actually.
You a lot of time.
I have heard that. I haven't done it yet.
I've been doing it for years, and it saves me a lot of time. I would say step up. Go 1.25, 1.5, 1.75, and get yourself up to 2x, and then you're saving a half hour on every hour long podcast.
I might try that actually, considering Guardian Football Weekly is released now 4x a week, and I'm like, I don't have time to do this. So
yeah,
maybe I'll try and listen on 2x speed.
The other fun thing is when you go back to like normal 1x speed, everybody sounds like they're hammered.
Oh yeah. And I run into the people who I know who do these podcasts, and I'm like, hey man, how you doing? And they start talking. I'm like, are you okay?
Well, very appropriate for a bar con from Brooklyn.
Yeah, exactly. Well, man, this has been fascinating, and I want to drive more people over there. So lay it out again, how to get there. It's barconventbrooklyn.com, right?
BarConventBrooklyn.com, right there on the homepage, at the top of the homepage, above the fold, as we say in the marketing industry. You're going to see a big button that says register for free today. And so you click that, very, very short registration, you can register. And obviously, as well as accessing the platform, all of the content that was on Monday and Tuesday is now all available on demand. You can watch all of that. And we got a bunch of content coming up every day this week. So yeah, it couldn't be easier to access.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, you know, for better or for worse, easiness makes people more inclined to get on board. You also have a Instagram for Bar Convent Brooklyn. It's just that, right? Bar Convent Brooklyn.
It is. We're across all of the social channels. So if you look across all of them, but yes, at Bar Convent Brooklyn. The Instagram too. We have a lot of brands that have done Instagram takeovers. Yeah. And just fantastic. I mean, stuff. I'm serious now. Stuff that has like. I'm the event director, and I've seen some stuff. I'm like, that's it. I'm ordering it. So I have literally, they have gotten my money from me already this week from some of the cool stuff they have on there.
Yeah. So you're going to do an unboxing video of all the stuff that you've ordered, right?
That's, you know, what I'm hearing. I could. Ooh, I could unbox my new J's and the Nixa corn liqueur I got as well. That would be amazing.
Ooh. I got to say, man, I didn't chime in too much on the unboxing thing. I simply don't get it.
You know, I never write my littlest kid would spend hours watching, you know, like Funko Pop heads and those little Tsum Tsums be unboxed. I'm like, I don't get it. And then I started literally watching people unbox, like open up the new Virgil Abloh's Nike Air Force Ones or the new J's. I'm like, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it now.
It's a little past me, I think.
It's crazy. But it works. It's effective.
There's got to be an unboxing Amaro channel out there somewhere. I bet you if we find it, like, we'll come back to you in a couple weeks and you'll be fucking hooked. I guarantee it. It's just, you got to find that one thing that speaks to you and then you can't look away.
Would not care. it doesn't appeal to me at all to watch someone else open something. So anyway, Bar Convent Brooklyn, it sounds like it's going to be a wild success this year. I would love to maybe have you back on for a recap, even if it's just a quick 10-minute episode to talk about, like, how many people did come, how many views did you get?
No, I would love to. It'd be a joy. Yeah, I'm sure we're going to have a bunch of cool learnings from this, you know, considering it's the first time we've done it. And, you know, it's not going away. You know, I'm relentlessly positive, and I know we will get a vaccine. I know we will get, at some point, return to some part of normalcy. And when we do, we can have that face-to-face Bar Convent Brooklyn that everybody loves.
Yeah, of course, but I have to assume, Carlos, that even when that happens, you're probably still going to do the virtual side as well.
That's so what I was about to say, right? This is not going away. We've learned so many valuable things. We've learned new ways that we can just engage with the audience that the audience like, right? And we've taken things that don't work as well, right? And we've learned from those as well, and so we know not to do those. But it's never this. It's, you know, while it's a stopgap now for face to face, you know, in the future when we get back to face to face, it's not, you know, face to face is not going to replace it. These are going to complement each other. We've gotten too much engagement and involvement from the audience to ever have this go away again. So it's here to stay, you know, to complement the face to face.
Yeah, outstanding. Well, thanks so much, Carlos, for taking time out of, I guess, walking your dog to hang out with us and talk to us about Bar Convent Brooklyn and the Global Bar Week. And man, if you're out there listening, you know, log on and check it out. You've got obviously till Sunday for all the live events. You've got another week to log on and check it out as a whole. Then you can check out each website for the local shows and this stuff. A lot of this stuff will be evergreen, which is great. It's just another resource for us out there, and that's what we always need is resources for education and betterment of ourselves and our craft. So really, really appreciate you being on today, and thanks so much, guys. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you so much. An absolute pleasure being here. Thanks so much.
Anytime, brother. Good. Thank you.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
The Speakeasy is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows that you like, tell your friends, and please Join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.